You're listening to Ignite Your Success, a podcast that inspires fitness professionals to build a strong business that enables them to serve more people and engineer the lifestyle they desire. It's Brad Shepherd here, and together with Jason Urbanowicz, we're best known for running Trainer HQ, a community of passionate and profit-hungry fitness business owners that make a massive difference in others' lives every day. Each episode, we'll unpack for you exactly what's working and deliver best practice strategies so you can confidently grow your business and make a huge impact. Hello and welcome to another edition of Ignite Your Ultimate Success podcast. I'm here with the owner of my gym that I train at, as a matter of a fact, Mr. Jono Snape, and I like to call him, or everyone calls him, the big Snape dog. How are you, Snape dog?
Man, I'm good. It's good to be here. I actually feel like a bit of a rapper in this studio. I feel like I'm going to drop some beats in here. It's amazing.
You look like it, man, and you sound crispy. And with a name like that, mate, comes with high expectations.
It does, mate. We'll see if I can deliver.
Well, as discussed, I'm a very proud member of your gym, CrossFit Torreon. Was inducted, just quietly, people, into the Torreon Hall of Fame last year as a 10-year member.
I remember.
But mate, I've been really looking forward to this because, you know, I guess, you know, being in the industry and having a look at what yourself and Mike have built over this time, you know, just really impresses me. I love being a part of it. So I guess I'd love to hear it from you firsthand. Look, you're not from the fitness industry, so can you shed a bit of light on the background on how yourself and Mike got together with the concept, and you've not been from the industry. So let us hear about it.
Yeah, I guess I'm a little bit of a chopper read, you know. I've written a bestseller and I'm semi-bloody illiterate. So, I come from a marketing background. So I studied business at QUT and majored in marketing and advertising. And a lot of the electives that I studied were focused on multimedia. So things like photography, filmmaking, web design. And then I went on to study some postgraduate courses in search engine marketing when I was living over in LA. So my first kind of real job out of university after I graduated was with an advertising agency. And this was just a really great opportunity for me to, I guess, work with some really great brands and on some really great campaigns. And ultimately that led to a job with Tourism and Events Queensland. That was one of my clients at the time. So, and this was, again, just a massive opportunity for me because not only did I get to work on, you know, some great tourism products and campaigns, I got to work with a team that had really embraced digital technology and the power of digital marketing. And this was something I was sort of really interested in at the time. And beyond that, I also worked for TEQ in Los Angeles. Again, another amazing opportunity for me, getting to work on some, you know, huge brands over in America, some great products, and it's just a massive market to be involved in if you're interested in marketing. And then when I eventually came back to Australia, I was just working part-time doing some consultancy work, and then I eventually took a job with QUT in their marketing department.
Wow, so heavy marketing background, heavy marketing theme. And I also recall that you also had a passion. I mean, back in the early days when Facebook was popular, pre-Instagram, all the rest of it, I mean, you'd even built up a strong page of just posting really inspirational clips and so forth.
Yeah, so I've always considered myself, I've loved technology and I've always considered myself an early adopter. So anytime, you know, new technology comes along, I've got to have the latest tech, I've got to have the latest version. I've got to try the latest digital platform, and I had Facebook before it was even available in Australia. So I had a friend over in the States who went to a university there who arranged a university password for me, because at the time you had to be from a university. So they created this fake email for me, and I had Facebook, and I was playing around on Facebook before it was even available in Australia. And I remember when I was over in the States, I bought an iPhone and got it hacked so you could use it in Australia. So I've always been obsessed with, you know, tech and the latest tech. And I think, from that, I developed a real passion for kind of marketing. And I think, you know, that passion for marketing was really, you know, born from my love of brands. And, Yeah, the earliest memory I have of this was kind of putting on my first pair of Nikes, you know, when you're a little kid and you put on that first pair of Nikes and the way it sort of makes you feel invincible. And I sort of, you know, I remember being fascinated by how a brand can make someone feel that way. And what I've learnt over the years is that this core principle of creating an emotional response is something all the best brands in the world do and really focus on. So Rolex is an example. You know, people aren't buying that watch because they love the way it tells time. They're buying it for a status symbol. And Volvo aren't selling you, you know, great cars. They're selling you safety. And Nike, you know, isn't selling you shoes. They're selling you athletic confidence. And so this whole concept of selling an idea and backing that up with a great product was something that really resonated with me at the time.
Man, I love it. Such powerful words and so true for anyone. And again, linking this back to the fitness industry, for anybody to keep thinking about how do you keep trying to invoke that emotional response in your ideal customer, your ideal client. So not from the fitness industry, but you did hook up with Coach Mike. And tell me about your guys' unique connection and your relationship.
Yeah, so CrossFit Taurian started back in 2015, and my CrossFit journey started about 2 years before that, and I joined a gym called CrossFit Lift.
Yep, probably the same time as me.
It would have been, mate. I think I was, I think I was part of the sort of founding 50 membership base. So CrossFit Lift was owned by my now business partner, Mike Towner. Shout out to Big Tau Tau.
Big Mike.
He's a legend. So I pretty quickly became friendly with Mike, and I was helping him with some digital marketing initiatives to help grow his business. And I just sort of casually said to him one day, if you're ever thinking about opening another gym, let me know. I might be interested in being involved. So fast forward 12 months, you know, I'm completely drunk on the CrossFit Kool-Aid, full froth. I get this call from Mike and he says, mate, remember that, you know, conversation we had? Well, I found this space. I want you to come and check it out. So so I go down to this warehouse in Bowen Hills and can I swear on this podcast?
You can, sir.
So, mate, we go down to this warehouse and it's fucking massive, right? I'm talking airplane hangar massive. And we're sort of sitting there, you know, and you have to remember at the time, CrossFit gyms were predominantly, you know, pretty rough and ready, you know, small hole in the wall type operations. So we're looking at this space and thinking this is just, you know, an excessive amount of space for a CrossFit gym. So so while we were kind of deliberating, I guess, the opportunity and the enormity of the space and the financial commitment that obviously comes with that, I started to get really excited about the opportunity presented from a branding perspective, but also what we could do logistically and creatively in that space as well. So, you know, something to differentiate ourselves. So everyone will probably remember the massive murals that we did on the walls. That was something, you know, in my mind that was fairly simple, but that went viral around the internet after we did that and really helped us launch that gym, you know, raise awareness and, you know, start to tell a story about what this gym was going to be like. So the vision for that gym was really formulated around, let's do something big, let's do something bold, let's change the game. And I really wanted to wow people when they came into the space. And I knew that I could execute that on a brand and marketing perspective. And I knew that my business partner, Mike, could really execute that well on a coaching and product perspective. So, long story cut short, I invested every dollar that I had, quit my job. And it felt like one of those real burn the ships moments, you know, and the rest is history, as they say. So, yeah, it was this real, field of dreams moment that sort of, you know, came to reality. And, you know, if you build it, they will come.
And that they did. So at some point in time in that journey, obviously I was like yourself, I was a member at CrossFit Lift, and just a bit over 10 years ago when I, you know, I'd been lifting weights, throwing around iron for almost 30 years and been playing around with CrossFit movements and that with in training clients and all the rest of it. And I'm like, hey, I want to go and, you know, do CrossFit for a period in time, you know, check it out and actually get fully immersed, not just play around with it. And that Mike's gym was the only place, CrossFit Lift, that did a 5 a.m. class, and that's what suited me. And it was like, all right, beauty, here we go. Jumped in for a month, and after a month I was like, I'm hooked, man. This is like, this is my jam. I love this. So just like yourself, drank the Kool-Aid, and, you know, 10 years later, still trying to get better at it every day. But I remember the conversation with Mike, and he was telling me about it. He goes, we've got this huge space, and it was like, yeah, it was that thing. Hey, it was like, yeah, we got to go for it. And that's how you described it from the outside looking in, exactly how it played out. You know, it was like there was this hype that built around it. And it was at a time, I guess, in that space as well, where it was gaining in terms of its popularity and you know, becoming more mainstream as well, which, you know, I guess the timing on that was amazing.
Yeah, absolutely. There was this real groundswell that CrossFit had created, and we were able to kind of capitalize that and take what was already existing in that space and just do something, in my mind, you know, bigger and better.
Yeah. Now, you had this big fuck-off joint, but straight away you just didn't fill it with members, did you? That took a while, didn't it?
No, I think, it's always a nervous time, right? You invest so much time, money into this thing that you think is great, and you just hope people are going to show up. It's like your birthday party or having a party, you know. Your worst nightmare is that no one shows up. So, for a few months, I guess it was, we created a lot of hype, and we had a great influx of new members, but we had a certain target that we had to hit to cover our expenses. And for me, I just quit my job, so we needed revenue coming in to justify that decision. So we had a great influx of new members, and I think we got to our kind of, you know, break-even point within the first couple of months, which was amazing. I think funny story is that I think for that first, you know, few months, there was only one person in the 5 a.m. class. So we were promoting, you know, group classes, and it's going to be awesome.
Biggest gym in Australia.
Big energy and all this sort of stuff. And, you know, there'd be one member in the coach, and he was loving it. He's getting, you know, PTs for 3 months. So he's never been fitter. We kind of hit that break-even point pretty quickly, and then sort of steadily grew over the years. And then we sort of peaked just before COVID around 400 members.
Yeah, amazing. Great to watch. Now, we will talk more about marketing and brand awareness, because I know it's such a large passion of yours. But even from the beginning, that was a focus of yours, wasn't it, to really build that brand recognition and get it out there? Could you describe that a bit?
Yeah, so the way I look at it is, you know, and, you know, why I love Mike as a business partner is, you know, he was very good at building the product, and then I was very good at shining a light on that. And that's how I sort of saw the relationship between us two. And I guess, you know, to delve into that question about, like, marketing and, you know, what I love about that and what I was able to do with this gym, you know, there's a few things I kind of live by in my, I guess, you know, philosophies. And number one is, you know, build brands through your marketing communications and not commodities. So for me, building a brand is all about making commitment to being something and creating an experience for your consumers that goes beyond products and services. And, you know, as an example, this is something that Apple do, in my opinion, you know, better than anyone. And that's how they've been able to sort of charge huge prices for their products and build these, you know, incredibly loyal customers. Like, unless I've, you know, missed something along the way, I don't see anyone queuing up for the latest Samsung for 3 days.
You know, no disrespect to Samsung, by the way.
Yeah, no disrespect. But yeah, and I think that's probably what really excited me about this opportunity. And the second, I guess, key thing that I was, you know, really passionate about and good at was, you know, creating content. And content in my eyes is king, and content is the king. Video is its crown. And if you want to build a really strong business in today's world, you have to be able to market through content creation. And, you know, with the rise of digital platforms and the popularity of it, that's where your customers are spending all their time. So you essentially need to fish where the fish are. And I loved, as a passion, you know, being able to create content and photography and all those sorts of things. So I really saw this whole opportunity as a way to, I guess, just, you know, do all the things that I loved and build something that I was really passionate about.
Mm. Such a great synergy too, because you look at that relationship that exists there. We got the technician and then we got the, you know, the brand marketing expert, and bring that together and you look at what occurs, you know, the synergy. It's not 1 + 1 = 2. It's 1 + 1 goes well beyond that. It's 3, 5, 7 or greater. And that's, you know, that part's really inspiring to see. Back to the gym.
Absolutely.
Itself,
I think, you know, to that point, you know, I think that, you know, people sometimes ask us all, you know, how have you been able to do this? And I think it's been the unique combination that we've had. We've both got different sets of skills that complement each other, but we trust each other in that skill set to be able to deliver and execute well. And, you know, I see it all the time. These gym owners who, they might be a PT, they start a gym, they get so sort of bogged down in the day-to-day runnings of the gym and training, you know, training people, and yes, that stuff is super important, right? But, you know, it doesn't give them any time to do some peripheral things like marketing, focusing on the business, all those sorts of things. So I think that combo was very much key to our success.
Yeah, and something that just so powerful that we preach at Trainer HQ is you got to have those elements of the working in and then the working on the business. And you know, quite often when people are new to us, we see them, you know, a large percentage of their time and energy spent working in the business, servicing people, swapping time for money, whatever way you want to look at it. But there's the part which is the working on, which is just so powerful. And I guess the message for anybody is to go, hey, I don't have Snape Dogg's flair for videography or marketing or brand awareness. The beauty of the modern day and age is these services and resources and things are out there. So you go, okay, how do I get creative enough to, you know, be able to find the right type of people that can produce this sort of stuff for me? And once again, this stuff can be done at a pretty reasonable cost in this day and age.
Yeah, absolutely. You need to know what you know, but more importantly, know what you don't know. And you need to be able to fill those gaps, you know, to be able to execute well. And it's getting easier and easier to fill those like technical gaps. AI is the perfect example. Like, I'm not a good writer, but I don't need to be anymore, and I don't need to employ a copywriter anymore. I can just plug something into ChatGPT and I get world-class, you know, copy. So problem solved. Mm-hmm. You know, there's great applications online that can help you, you know, create better content for Instagram, Facebook. You can learn easy on how to edit videos and all these sorts of things. So know what you know, fill in the gaps if you can by upskilling or bring in resources to help you achieve those things.
And hammer home that point. I mean, arguably, I might be biased, but arguably, in my opinion, Australia's best, you know, and biggest CrossFit gym and facility. How many in that 8 or so year journey, mate, how many classes have you taught yourself?
Zero. Yeah. And we've always just joked that I should jump in there because I feel like I could coach a class. I've done that many classes and been around so many great coaches. I think I've learnt by osmosis that, I could certainly run everyone through a pretty technical warm-up at least, I think.
Might be the 10-year anniversary, hey? Get you up there. And
yeah, mate. Deck you out. Yeah. We've just had our 9th birthday, so I've got 12 months to prep.
Now, obviously, great results, but it always hasn't been smooth sailing. You've in amongst this, you've had to get up and shift this mother trucker of a gym to a new location. You've also battled the dreaded COVID. So tell us a bit about some of those times.
Yeah, so the move, the move was a scary one. So essentially how that kind of happened was that the location that we were in, the property got sold, new owners come in, and they essentially wanted to jack our rent up by, you know, 300-400%. It was just absurd. So we just couldn't afford to stay there. And they were pretty set on, like, this is the rate, and if you don't like it, well, you've got to leave. So we, we're kind of worried because we're like, oh, man, it's such a big big space. We've invested so much money in fitting this out. And, you know, what is a massive gym killer is moving location. So if you move too far, it just becomes inconvenient for your current members. And there's a key ratio around, like, you know, most of your member base will come from 3 kilometers outside your physical location. So, you know, we're lucky that we have a lot of people who travel even as far as Redcliffe for our gym. But generally speaking, location is key. So the thought of moving that, you know, was, could have been, you know, super detrimental to the gym. But it turned out to be a massive positive because it we went around and looked for new spaces and eventually found this, you know, incredible space that it tucked away in behind News Corp there, one of their old printing rooms, which is, you know, the Torian that you see today online. But yeah, I guess the moral of that story was that we were, yeah, thinking that this was the worst thing for our business and that it ended up being a massive positive. So, you know, the space came with, you know, upgraded facilities. It was a much, you know, better building. We were able to, you know, make some upgrades and I guess the kicker and the great thing was it was only sort of 500 meters up the road. But, you know, members being members, some people complained about that. And I was like, no, I thought this, you know, we're thinking this is just a huge win, right? Like we're 500 meters up the road. Like this is unbelievable. We found this great space. It's better. It's, you know, we're going to get some new equipment. We're going to have more space to do more things. But yeah, 500 meters. Some people are kicking up a stink.
It's yeah, it's cool. I mean, I love the facility and I like the thing I like, you know, my ideal time's early in the morning. Get in there at any time you go in there in the day, you just see people going for it. You know, there's people down the back that ollie lifting, there's people in the climbing ropes, there's there's the class going on, there's always something happening, and I find that personally really inspiring, that's for sure.
Yeah, and I love that, and that's what we create. It's all about, you know, big classes, big energy, motivating space. And yeah, to touch on your point about COVID, another massive challenge for us, and I guess, you know, during that time, obviously the news breaks, gyms are shutting down, you know, the whole world's ending, and you don't really know. I guess you start sort of getting, you know, really nervous about what the future holds for your business. And again, you look back, I've worked so hard and this is, you know, could be crushing. But I guess in that moment, it just came down to, you know, how hard you're willing to work to keep that business alive. So we came up with a really, you know, fun strategy around just tying into this end of the world, I guess, scenario. When we put together what we called survival packs, which is just all our gym equipment. And, you know, we worked out, all right, we can give out this many barbells, this many dumbbells, this many ab mats, and members can come and grab these survival packs to take home. And, you know, we partnered with Red Bull and you got a, you know, case of Red Bull with it. and we tried to make it a little bit kind of fun. And then we sort of, I guess, did what, you know, a lot of businesses did, and I hate to, you know, say the buzzword, but we pivoted into just purely an online offering. So everything that was bricks and mortar, we tried to bring into the digital world. And then I just became a full-time movie editor. So we were dropping, you know, the workout of the day every morning with a new video. And then at the end of the week, we were doing these cool hype raps and, you know, we were running around, you know, dodging police, trying to get in these cool locations to like film, make these videos look awesome and engaging and keep everyone motivated. And yeah, we were, you know, driving outside our radius, you know, just, you know, for the gram, basically, just to make it look amazing. And we were just in fight mode because we were like, well, if we don't offer our members something during this time, you know, I can't expect them to stick around. So, yeah, so we came up with this strategy of just creating this like online community called Toryland, which still kind of exists. But yeah, it just worked incredibly well. Like for most people, it was the highlight of their day, sort of getting up, watching this video, being able to do a workout, posting your results, chatting with people. And yeah, so it ended up being this amazing, I guess, experience for everybody. And some people actually like look back on it as like, oh, Toryland was so awesome, let's go back to that, you know. And we were thinking, hang on, maybe we don't ever need to open the gym. We could just run this. But I was like, man, I can't keep up with all this video editing. I was just, it was hectic.
And again, in first-hand experience, being a client of that, I was immersed in it and it was a great experience to be a part of. But yeah, you just feel really connected to the community. People, like you said, posting their results, but more importantly, hyping each other up. And that was the big part of it. And you were getting around. I remember you came around my place one day.
Oh, like yeah.
You were everywhere. And even to get the little feature, get yourself 5 seconds on a video clip, you're like, there's my highlight, you know. So
yeah it was really cool, and a lot of people got to know a lot of the other members during that time, because, you know, I'd go around and like you said, I would go around to people's houses and, you know, film them working out, doing Toryland at their home. And it was really fun. It was for that 8 weeks, I don't think I've ever worked harder And would I do it again? I don't know. It was pretty hard. By the end of the 8 weeks, I was pretty exhausted and ready to, you know, put that roller door back up.
And I guess that leads into the next part about community. So you built a really strong community there. The other thing I noticed as being part of it is inside the 400 members, it's a big group of people. We've got our sub communities in there. So shout out, for example, to the Silverbacks that I'm a part of, all the old fellas, mostly the 5 a.m. crew, and which again is like, I find it highly motivating because we've got this group of guys over the age of 40 into the 50s now, and who just, you know, have bonded and found that connection underneath the roof of the greater community as well. So tell us a bit about what you observe inside there.
Yeah, mate, it's awesome. And that's, you know, that's one of the perks of this, business, is that you're bringing people, like-minded people together. And then, you know, people are building these amazing, you know, relationships with each other. And it's, you know, you look back at some of the stats of the gym and there's, you know, we've had babies born out of the gym, you know, people getting married, you know, awesome relationships, bad relationships, you know. And it's quite funny because, you know, when people get together in the gym and then if they break up, the biggest argument is like, who gets the gym? But yeah, it's really fun to be a part of that. I'm a massive, you know, people person, and I love adding value to people's lives. And I guess it, you know, it goes back to what I was saying before. You know, sometimes I feel like the fitness is very secondary to, you know, the experience that people are getting there from the community. So yeah, it's really fun to be a part of that, and it can be a really great strength for a business. And that was proven through COVID, you know, building a strong community and building that loyalty, and then that sort of can ensure your long-term business success.
Yeah, and you alluded to the fact of the people who are coming there as well, and there's been some great athletes come through, and, you know, CrossFit Games representatives sending teams to the games, all that sort of stuff in the journey. But I guess my observation is that it's a small part of the gym, and for most of speaking very generally, is we've got a big mix of what we call gem pop style people that just love to come train, be part of the community.
Yeah, absolutely. So a lot of people look at Torin and they think, oh, you know, I can't train there. You know, they see Royce online, you know, who looks like he's carved out of stone, like a Marvel character, you know, throwing this enormous weight around. And that's actually a really small percentage of what we do. As you said, 90% of our membership is people like me, the average Joe, who are just in there to have fun and get fit. And when people come in for their first session and they're like, oh, I'm so nervous to be here, I'm like, don't worry, you're not going to be the worst, you're not going to be the best. You're going to fit in somewhere and just give it a chance, and, you know, you'll find a friend and you'll really enjoy the experience. So, you know, we have people from all ages, you know, from teens to older ladies to older guys to, you know, who just use a broomstick instead of a barbell, things like that. So you just come in, you know, that's one of the great things about CrossFit is, you know, infinitely scalable. So what you see Royce doing, you can do a similar version of that. That's more tailored to your physical ability or your sort of, you know, technical skills. So, yeah, it's definitely not as scary as it can be made out on social media.
Yeah, absolutely. I definitely back that statement up. Let's switch to now your other business opportunities, because as a result of running Torrient, owning the gym, you put on your first in-house comp a number of years ago called the Torrient Pro. You've now built that to what I probably understand as one of the biggest CrossFit comps possibly in the Pacific or Southern Hemisphere. Could you shed some light on the Torrient Pro for us?
Yeah, so that event is just such a beast now, right? It's essentially my full-time job is running that event now. So that event, as you said, started, CrossFit Torrient started 2015, and I think very shortly after that, we launched the first Torrient Pro, and there were two reasons why we did the event. One was to promote the gym. The second was to give the elite athletes that we had in our gym another great platform to sort of sharpen their steel. At the time, you know, the way the CrossFit Games season was structured, it went open into regionals, and there was a big gap of comps in Australia that gave those, you know, that emerging talent a really good competition to, you know, get better and sharpen their steel. So instead of kind of lamenting the fact that there was nothing around, we just decided, let's just go and do it ourselves. And so we launched that first year, and a little unknown CrossFitter called Tia Claire Toomey shows up. and she just dusts the field, like six from six events, like easy. I'm like, who is this Tia Claire Toomey? So obviously now she's gone on to win, you know, six CrossFit Games world titles and is, you know, the undisputed goat of everything. But yeah, that event kind of exponentially, not even exponentially, like slowly grew for the first few years. I remember thinking if we got an extra food truck or something, you know, it's a big upgrade for the event. And then in sort of 2019, we had what I refer to as kind of like our breakout year. So we were all set to run the event at the gym again. And Royce had become really good friends with Rich Froning at the time. And he had just sort of hit him up and said, do you want to come out and, you know, compete in this comp? And he was like, sure, man, let's do it. And then once we'd kind of announced Rich was coming, you know, it was just all hell essentially broke loose. And, you know, we had people going, how can we do this? And we just thought that it would be such a travesty to, you know, Rich had never been to Australia. So it would be such injustice almost on the CrossFit community to bring this guy out and we could only fit 300 people in that gym. So yeah, we took a bit of a leap of faith and went out and met with the facilities manager at the Pat Rafter Arena, which is where the event is held now. And we were just looking around going, oh man, like, you know, what are we doing? Like, this is crazy. A, it's expensive. B, how are we not going to make this look like an absolute ghost town? You know, you bring 300 people here, it's going to look ridiculous. But anyway, we just, again, it was just one of those moments where we just backed ourselves and we went, all right, let's just go all in, make this mega. Bit of field of dreams in there. If you build it, they will come. And yeah, we just kind of went for it. And it turned it up, you know, to be a massive success for us and really launched us on a new trajectory of we were an independently run event and now we're a sanctioned event and we're part of the overall CrossFit Games season as a semi-final, you know, event, which qualifies all the Oceanic athletes to go to the CrossFit Games.
Yeah, wow. And this past year, obviously every year I've seen it happen, it's been a huge success. How many spectators does it house over the few days that you run it?
So we get about 17,000 over the 3 days, which is, yeah, massive. So if you go back to our early stats, I think our first CrossFit, the first Torian Pro that we ran might have been close to 50 athletes, not even, and maybe like 100 spectators. There's probably more athletes than spectators on the first one. And to now we get over 700 athletes and, you know, 17,000 spectators over the 3 days. And it's, you know, broadcast around the world. And yeah, it's a pretty, you know, in the thick of that event, yes, it's hectic. But, you know, sometimes you sort of step back and think, oh man, this is a pretty cool journey and achievement.
Yeah. Great to watch. Great. Congratulations to you both on that. And then I guess back to the community side, this is where I see the community come out in full force. You got the volunteers, all that sort of stuff, which makes it happen.
Yeah. Yeah. I mean, they're the MVPs of this whole operation. We have, when we put the call out, we get about 500 applicants for the volunteers, which is just, you're so humbled by that, that people are willing to even, you know, do that for you, right? And give up their time to sort of, you know, help you with this vision. And, you know, unfortunately we only sort of have spots for about sort of 250. So it's a really, really hard email to send. You know, it's a great email to send to the people who get in, and then it's a really heartbreaking email to send to the people that don't get in because they take it so personally sometimes. And it's like, you know, what can I do for next year to make sure I get in? And it's like, look, it's not you, it's me. Trust me. It's just that we physically can't fit. Like, you know, going back to that point I made when we first walked into that venue and we were like, how are we actually going to fill this place? Now we're at a point where the venue is too small, which is just, you know, crazy to think about in a few years that we've outgrown that venue, even to the point where we just, we don't even have enough room to put out our volunteers. Like, we've run out of space. So
yeah, good problem to have, hey?
Yeah, it's a great problem to have. But, you know, we want to keep growing that event, and I'd love to, you know, get to a point where 500, you know, volunteers get to, you know, apply, and we can say, yep, let's do it.
Yeah, how good. So let's talk a bit about yourself and Mike as business owners now, because we have a lot of people tuning into our channel who, you know, are building their fitness business, some based underneath the roof of a gym, others run their own gym facility, studio, whatever that might look like. And then we have a huge number of online coaches as well. So tell us about the working on versus the working in. So both yourself and Mike, you effectively don't work in, you work mostly on. How would you describe what the typical week might look like for you guys?
Yeah, and I like that you use the words in and on, because they are completely different things. at the start, we were very much, when CrossFit Torian speaking, at the start, we were very much in the business. Like, I was doing everything from scrubbing the toilets to doing the website to, you know, signing up members to, you know, and my rule is that I'll never ask any of my employees to do something I haven't done or wouldn't do. And most of the time, you know, I've done everything there is to do at that gym, you know, from scraping off chewing gum on the floor to whatever. You know, and Mike is the same. Like, we were very much both in the trenches, me from a business marketing perspective and him from a coaching perspective. He was coaching all the classes. And now we've slowly over the years, we've taken very, very small steps out of that business while we're bringing people in to sort of, you know, take those reins. So we're really fortunate that we have a great group of coaches. We've got a great gym manager in there. We've had awesome people over the years sort of help us take those steps away from the business, so that now we're in a point where, as you say, we're working more on the business. And I sort of, you know, look at it like it's this ship, and, you know, we've got great people, running the ship, and then occasionally you just have to jump in and maybe just adjust the rudder sometimes and just make sure that it's kind of, it's still tracking in the right direction.
Mm. And then I guess back to the two businesses. Now we've got the Torian Pro, which effectively sits as standalone. Plus we've got Torian the gym, and both of them beautifully complementary to each other as well.
Yeah, they're great. They certainly complement each other. I'm very much in a position now with the event that I'm working in the event, and I'm trying to, as the event grows and more resources become available, you know, take those small steps so I can work more on the event and, look at some bigger picture stuff to just really take it to the next level. But I think it's important, if you want to get into that leadership role of running a business, you have to have worked in a business to really understand that and to sort of add value. So I think it's been a really great, progression for me from, you know, being in the trenches with CrossFit Torian to now being in more of like a leadership role, and now with the event, like, we've built that thing from the ground up. I mean, the first Torian Pro, we were building our own equipment, you know, and now we've got Rogue, the biggest equipment company on the planet, you know, giving us equipment. So we've been able to build that slowly, but it's been an important, you know, journey and learning for me to be able to do that to get to where I am now.
Love it, man. So good. Let's get it down into a little bit of the detail. So in terms of achieving that growth, some might hear 400-odd members and all the people at Torian Pro. Have you done that mostly through organic marketing? Have you run paid ads? Can you shed a bit of light on that part?
Yeah, I've essentially done it all. And it kind of depends on a few things. It depends on the type of business to your mix, of marketing communications. It depends on the audience, and then it also evolves. Like, what I was doing 5 years ago, 10 years ago is very, very different to what I'm doing now. So, a great example of that is, you know, Instagram and Facebook were just the major social media platforms for so long, and then in comes TikTok, and it just blows everything out of the water. But if you're not able to create appropriate content for TikTok, you just get squashed. Your content has changed a lot from just inspirational images and things like that to more of like an educational and entertainment perspective. And that's where TikTok has really excelled. Now, that's just one example. But, you know, for all the businesses, I've done everything from search engine marketing. So that's, you know, incorporates display, search engine optimization, where you're optimizing your website organically to rank high. Search engine marketing is where you're essentially paying for that. So that's through display ads or that when you know, type in Google and you look at the top and you see those sponsored kind of results. People are paying, they're bidding on keywords to kind of, you know, rank there. And that's always a powerful, I've always found a powerful tool is, you know, it's more of a pull strategy versus a push strategy. So me, you know, I'm paying for Facebook ads, I'm pushing my message onto you, into your feed. But when someone's going into Google to search for something, they're showing the intent and you just need to be there in front of them. You know, they're wanting to make that move and you just need to be there for them to take that action. So, yeah, and obviously, you know, over the years I've delved a lot in video content creation. That's probably the most powerful marketing tool. But again, you need to develop the right content for the right channel and have a great mix across, you know, all your platforms.
So in amongst that, definitely paid ads is what you've used and you found benefit in that. But on top of that, really, it sounds like the organic and I guess the way I view the content you've put it together is best practice. You want this to be look crisp. You want it to hit the mark, and that's where a lot of your focus has been.
Yeah, absolutely. So generally when you're like my strategy is, you know, when you're launching a business, you are going to have to spend money on things like paid ads until you've built that audience. And then you can leverage that audience through organic content to sort of, you know, help grow that and lower your spends as time goes on. But depending on what your brand is, you need to, and ours was very much along the lines of like, we wanted to elevate, I guess, what people traditionally thought of a CrossFit gym, which was just like rough and ready and, you know, crappy images and great, you know, all this. So we tried to just bring a more professional element into our marketing so that the, you know, the images looked great. You know, the videos are well produced and, you know, just looked better, just looked more sort of motivating. So that was, yeah, a big part of the strategy was not only just creating this content, but making sure that it looked really, really good when, you know, when it landed on your feed.
Yeah. Would that, and if people listen to this or tuning in want to check this out straight away, would you say your Instagram be the best place for them to look or the first place to look?
Yeah, Instagram's a good one. You can kind of scroll back through the history and I guess see it kind of evolve from, you know, where it first started when we were first leaking the you know, the teaser images that were pretty rough and ready to, you know, when I went and bought a professional camera and just, you know, started my own in-house marketing agency.
And that's at...
Oh, at CF Taurian.
CF Taurian. And then Taurian Pro at?
Yeah, at Taurian Pro.
Yeah. Sweet. All right, let's talk now about gym owners as such. So being a gym owner, if someone was to go to you, hey, man, can you give me, you know, three key plays that I could do or implement in my gym, what might they be?
Yeah, so it's a great question because there's plenty. how much time have we got? Yeah, I guess, yeah, there's a few key ones that I live by in my business playbook. And top of the list, and it's one of my favorite sayings, is ideas are cheap. Everyone has ideas, right? But what will set you apart is being able to execute well, and then being able to execute well as the years tick over. You know, how many times have you seen that post come out on social media, big things coming, and they, you know, people posting their brand new logo and talking about how great this new business is going to be, and then in 12 months later, the classic, oh, we're closing down, we're going to focus on other things, and, you know, that post rolls out. So, you know, don't get me wrong, it's awesome to get excited about new ideas and the potential of those ideas, but you have to remember that that's the easy part. That's the free part, costs you nothing. The challenge lies in, you know, your ability to execute. So going back to a point I made earlier, you need to work out what you need to execute. And part of that is knowing what you know, and more importantly, knowing what you don't know. And then on top of that, you just need to be prepared to work really, really hard for a really, really long time. Like if there's one thing that all successful people have in common is that they have all worked incredibly hard, and they'll all probably tell you that there's no such thing as an overnight success story. So yeah, that's probably, you know, a key thing for me. And number two, it, you know, might be a little bit sort of cliche, but don't half-ass it. You know, don't half-ass it. You can't be afraid to take a risk and swing for the fences, because anything worth doing is worth doing well. But I'm not talking about sort of, you know, when I'm talking about taking risks, I'm not talking about being reckless. You know, risks need to be calculated. But at some point when you're looking at a new business and you've done all your research, you've done all your planning, you've done all your financial modeling, there comes a point when you just need to back yourself. And you need to back yourself into success, and you just need to make sure that you've gone all in and you haven't half-assed it. So
I can love it. Mic drop moment there from the big Snape doll.
Oh, just mate. And number three, I've got a couple of bonus ones at the end of this too, mate.
I love it. You're going to get the extended version, yeah. Ladies and gentlemen.
Number three is, you know, be authentic. And the best way to do this, in my opinion, is to create something that you are passionate about and something that you believe in and something that adds value to people's lives. So additionally to the, you know, to this point is, you know, you can't necessarily pander to, you know, people's every whim, because people can be, you know, extremely unreasonable, and that can sort of lead to a burnout as a business owner. So, you know, you need to get into this position, and it's taken me a long time, because, you know, I'm a little bit of a people pleaser, and it's taken me a long time to get there, is getting comfortable knowing that as a business owner, especially in the fitness industry, you're not going to be able to make everyone happy all the time for their entire fitness journey. But all you can be at the end of the day is just, you know, be a good person, stay true to what you believe in, build a brand and a product that adds value to people's lives, execute well, and you'll attract the right people that appreciate you. So
beautiful, man. Yeah, love mate. It. Love it.
And I got a little bonus. I got a bonus.
Love it.
This is, you know, this is the extended version. If you lasted this long in the podcast, you get an extra bonus. Yeah. And this is probably one of my favorites. It's you have to walk the walk before you talk the talk. So, and I relate that to a marketing perspective. So marketing is great, but if your product sucks, marketing is just going to expose that faster. So make sure that you spend a lot of time perfecting your product, making it great, and then go out and spend, you know, money on marketing, create your strategy, do all those things. So it's really important. Like, a lot of people come out hot out of the gate with all these big promises and this and that, and they've got all this, you know, flashy marketing and logos and all this sort of stuff, but there's no substance behind that. So yeah, and you know, that's what I, you know, everything I love about marketing for me is, you know, being able to do that, but then backing it up with a great product.
So true, and great words, man. I love the way you shared that, and so articulate. No surprises that you guys have achieved what you've achieved, right? Me hearing all this.
Yeah, mate, it's been a really awesome journey. I think, you know, the best thing from going from, you know, where I was in the corporate world and, you know, many, many years, you know, doing that to, I guess, being, you know, an entrepreneur was just being able to, you know, have this ultimate sense of freedom and creativity and, you know, just to work on the things that you're really passionate about and you know, build a brand that, you know, people love. So it's been really, really hard work. You know, I hate that saying, find your passion and you'll never work a day in your life. Yeah. Like, that's bullshit. Find your passion and you'll want to work every day in your life. And that's how kind of I feel. Like, I'm excited to get up, you know, every day and go to work and, you know, build, keep trying to improve the business, you know, look for other opportunities and things like that. So yeah, it's been an amazing journey. A lot of hard work, but extremely rewarding at the same time.
Yeah. We have so many fitness professionals who tune into this, business owners, people who are everything from people starting out right through. So I know in amongst all this, there's going to be the message that hits the right person, you know, at the right time which is going to be significant for them and just so inspiring and motivating. Tell us a bit about what the future plans hold, because I guess, you know, we look back on the last 8 or so years and you go built, you know, 2 successful models, gym, standalone event. What does the future look like?
Yeah, nail salons, I think. No, maybe. I don't know. Do they make money?
are they marketable? That's the question.
No, I think, so it's a timely question because we are currently in negotiations of a lease on a new space.
Ooh.
Yeah. So we're expanding our gym footprint into another location. It's going to be a complementary offering to what we do in the CrossFit space, and sort of tap into a few things that we're really passionate about outside of CrossFit, which is, you know, things like golf. And so, yeah, we're really excited to, you know, hopefully these negotiations go well and we can get this lease sorted and then we can kind of make the big announcement of the plans. But
Man, that's juicy.
Yeah, it's massive, mate. It's it definitely felt like time. The last 12 months has kind of been like, yep, the gym's doing what it is. It's a great business. It's a great community. You know, the event is what it is. And it just felt like the right time to, you know, and I'm always on the lookout for new opportunities. And this one kind of, landed at the right time when we were really keen to sort of take that next step and I guess go through the whole process that we've done with CrossFit Touring and the event. Like, you know, you're staring down the barrel of a new business, you know, you're going through all your planning, all your modeling, you're assessing your risk. And like I said before, we've just gotten to that point now that, like, do we back ourselves to make this awesome or not? And so we went for it.
Love it, man. Well, again, if they made it this far into the podcast, and this could be the juicy moment where that gets leaked, hey?
That's it.
How cool.
Stay tuned. Big things coming.
Wait for the post. Here
yeah,
it is.
Yeah, yeah, yeah. Wait for the post, man. I'll try and word it a little differently so I don't contradict myself. You know?
So I guess to wrap all this up, you know, I guess first things first, being, you know, witnessing this firsthand, being a part of it and so forth has been an absolute pleasure. Huge congratulations to yourself. Big coach Mike Towner, what you guys have created. So, mate, just completely inspiring on all levels. So, I want to say from myself, from all the Trainer HQ community, everyone tuning into this, not at all to speak on behalf of all the people at Torian, Torian Pro have experienced that as well. Mate, a huge thank you.
Appreciate it, Brado. It's great to have you, mate. It's great to be here.
great to have the big Snape Dog live.
Mate, not that big. Jesus, these biceps are killing me. I need to get back to the gym.
So thanks for tuning in, ladies and gentlemen. And stay tuned. More to come with your Ignite Your Ultimate Success podcast. Bye for now.